This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
This week for Healthy Living, we're talking diabetes. It's Diabetes Awareness Week, and it sounds like we need it more than ever with rates of diabetes increasing rapidly, particularly in Sydney's west and on the New South Wales coast. Liam Shanahan is a dietitian and exercise physiologist with the Australian Diabetes Council. Hi, Liam.
Hi, how are you going, Katrina?
Good, thanks. I think, first of all, what is diabetes?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different kinds of diabetes that most people will be aware of. Mm-hmm. The main two that we talk about are type 1 diabetes. That's the kind that generally occurs in the younger population, so generally up to the age of 30. And that's a genetic type of diabetes. So generally, if people are going to get type 1 diabetes, there's nothing that they can do to stop themselves from getting
it. Yep.
The other type is type 2. That covers about 85 to 90% of all diabetes in Australia. And that's the one that people are generally more aware of because there's obviously a lot higher numbers of type 2 diabetes.
Mm.
It's also the one that we can actually do a lot more about preventing getting. So that's things like, you know, healthy lifestyle, exercise, good diet.
Yeah. And so how do people generally find out that they've got diabetes? What kind of symptoms would they be experiencing?
The usual symptoms that people usually experience are things like blurred vision. And that's usually a sort of slow onset. So people might not think that they've got any sort of vision problems, but it's a gradual progression of deteriorating vision.
Mm-hmm.
Other things like a really strong thirst, so feeling really thirsty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some pins and needles or tingling in the fingers and toes. And there's a whole range of symptoms that people can feel. Not everyone will feel all the symptoms. Some people may not have any. So it's really just a wide range of symptoms that people can feel.
And what about when people get gestational diabetes? Is that kind of, they experience the same thing when they're pregnant?
Yeah, so that
yeah.
It occurs in about 10 to 15% of pregnancies. And it is very similar symptoms that people will feel. The unique thing about the gestational diabetes is that it only lasts for a very short period of time. It's only the second and third trimesters of the pregnancy
okay.
where the diabetes, gestational diabetes does become an issue. But the key point with that is that any women who do have gestational diabetes, they are at a much higher risk of developing type 2 later on in life.
Interesting. Now, we've seen a lot of increases in Western Sydney, and we broadcast a lot to Western Sydney, so I'm interested to hear what's exactly going on in Western Sydney at the moment.
Well, the Australian Diabetes Council has done some research and has been mapping the rates of increase in diabetes across the whole of New South Wales,
mm-hmm.
and they're all grouped by electorates. And we're just looking at the top 10 of the electorates in New South Wales
for uh-huh.
the numbers of people with diabetes. And we can see out of that top 10, seven of those electorates are in Western or Southwestern Sydney.
Wow.
And pretty much all of those electorates have had an increase in the rate of diabetes of about 30% over the last 5 years.
30% over 5 years. That's huge.
It's a big increase, yeah.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, I also read that the North Shore has the lowest. So I'm guessing there's some socioeconomic kind of factors involved in this.
Yeah, that is definitely true. We see some of the electorates on the North Shore and Northern Beaches have increases of about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely a case that type 2 diabetes is associated with the lower socioeconomic groups. Having said that, diabetes isn't a choosy disease. Anyone can get it. But it is definitely associated with the lower socioeconomic groups.
So what are we doing wrong here in Western Sydney that we're not getting this under control?
Well, I don't think it's a case of people doing things wrong. I think it's more the information that people are getting. It could be the increased rates of diagnosis or more people are aware of the symptoms and so they're going and checking with their doctor more frequently, and so people are getting diagnosed a lot better than what they may have used to.
Okay.
But it can also come down to, you know, the people's diets, how much exercise they do, what their lifestyle is like.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Alan Barclay from your organisation has been saying that it's not just about poor food choices and low incomes, but that maybe we need to make some bigger changes in our city, addressing things like transport, because people spend so much time commuting to and from work, they don't have enough time to exercise and to cook properly. Mm-hmm. Do you think do you agree with that?
I definitely do agree with that. I mean, it is one of those things. It's called a lifestyle disease.
Mm-hmm.
So there obviously is a whole bunch of other factors which influence what our lifestyle is like, and that does definitely include availability of transport and availability of good food and how much time we have to spend travelling across the city.
Well, especially when the rates are so high here in the west and in the southwest, where we are commuting further.
Exactly. So there's a lot of talk and a lot of thinking going on about ways that we can move forward in regards to that, because it is a very big issue, as we know, for people in the outer suburbs of Sydney.
Okay. And from an individual point of view, though, I guess there's a few things I wanted to ask you. One is, what are some of the risk factors for diabetes, and how does it actually affect people's health when they have it?
So there's a few different risk factors for developing type 2 diabetes. The main one is a lack of exercise and a less than healthy diet, if you'd like to put it that way.
Okay.
And then there's other things such as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, kidney disease. There's a range of factors that can definitely increase someone's risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
And once you've got it, then how does it actually affect your health?
Well, if it's well managed, there really should be no adverse effects on people's health at all. For people who may not have as better control as they might, then it can lead to things that we call complications. So they're things where the type 2 diabetes has affected some other part of the body, and complications can affect the eyes, which is why we're talking about eye care for Diabetes Awareness Week this year. And then other things such as heart disease and kidney disease, nerve damage. So there's a range of symptoms that can develop across the body with uncontrolled diabetes.
But if you control it well, you shouldn't have really those problems to the same extent?
Oh, absolutely. So if someone who's well controlled, is their lifestyle should just be exactly the same as someone without diabetes, and there's very low risk of developing those complications.
Okay. Now, just before I let you go then, what are some of the simple things that we as individuals can do specifically to reduce our risk? Now, obviously healthy eating, but what exactly? What kind of healthy eating?
So we usually say to people, try and reduce their total and their saturated fat intake, because that's a really big contributor, as we know, to obesity, which is a very big indicator of developing type 2 diabetes. Increasing dietary fibre. We know that a higher fibre diet can help fill us up a bit more and keep us feeling fuller for longer. So having a higher fibre diet can help to reduce the amount of food that we actually eat. Having some physical activity a day, about 30 minutes each day, is what's recommended. Reducing weight by about 5%, and that sort of goes hand in hand with the exercise and the better diet. And then one other big thing that we try and encourage for people is to quit smoking.
All right. Well, none of it's easy, but it is all possible.
Yes, it's all definitely possible. It's a bit of hard work, but yeah. I mean the outcomes of that hard work are much better health, and definitely reduce risk of type 2 diabetes, or reduce those risk of complications developing later on.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks, Liam. It's been nice to talk to you. Thanks for filling us in.
No worries, Katrina. Good to talk to you.
Okay, that's Liam Shanahan. He's a dietitian and exercise physiologist with the Australian Diabetes Council.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.